So welcome. I think everybody knows everybody, but you may not know Steve Gookins, who is a practicing school superintendent out in eastern Indiana. And I'm going to ask him to say a word or two about the real-world effect of this set of bills that we're signing today. So let me just make a quick comment, and then I'm going to ask Steve, and then we're going to make law. First, I want to thank the broad cross-section of Indiana educators who helped us put this package of bills together. The Superintendents Association, the School Boards Association, the School Business Officers Association, the State Teachers Association, the principals, and others I haven't failed to mention here, all came together around the great goal of bringing dollars from the back office to the front lines of education and of conserving dollars on overhead so we can spend more dollars in the classroom. I remind everyone that 1%, every 1% that we can save in overhead will allow us to hire 1,500 teachers at the average wage and benefit. And so it's really worth working on. And school districts and leaders have, in many cases, had their hands tied in Indiana, unable to practice the best business they know how. And this package of bills that everybody pulled together has given new tools and, I hope, new focus to the need to spend less on overhead and more in the classroom. For example, schools will now be able to pool to buy insurance, go together to buy natural gas, a very expensive cost item. We're going to make it possible for schools to go together to buy school buses. And then many, many other items. We know from testimony that Sue Ellen and I heard at the Education Roundtable that fewer than 10% of the dollars that could be spent collectively through our excellent service centers, education service centers in Indiana, are now being spent that way. And so if we can move that number up, it will free up dollars that are vitally needed for more teachers and materials, teachers' aides, better pay, all the things that contribute to better education in Indiana. So it's a great day. I'm really grateful for the way everybody came together on this. The Speaker for his leadership, Cindy Noe in the House, Teresa Lovers in the Senate, Mike Ripley in the House, who led the way on the insurance bill, and others too numerous to mention. Steve, would you just say a word or two? I've been impressed with the way you've taken this, even before it becomes law, you've made preparations to use this legislation. Would you just say a quick word or two about what this means at the front line?
Thank you, Governor. I'd be honored. This bill has given us the opportunity to form cooperatives, and we currently have a group forming a natural gas cooperative. We started out with five initially that would only qualify under the current tariffs, but with this bill, we were able to expand our group to 11. We have now already reached 16 by knowing that this bill is going to be enacted. We did some rough numbers, and we did for the 11 school corporations, we would have saved over $26,000 for the month of February if we would have been able to have bought gas on the open market. With this bill, we think our cooperative group will exceed 20 school corporations and more, and we're looking at other opportunities as well as property and casualty and insurance. So we're delighted and gives us the opportunity to do cooperative purchasing.
Don't forget the buses.
Well, we're interested in exploring buses and textbooks and a lot of other options that are in the bill. And the bus opportunity, we see the service centers as a real opportunity for us there.
I'm going to sign these bills in order because, to some extent, the legality of one depends on the other. I see they've idiot-proofed this and numbered them 1, 2, and 3. Very good idea in my case. So first, 10:06. Mr. Speaker, what time do you have? We're going to make this completely legal.
9:10.
And now the school bus bill.
Got a fast sweep in.
And lastly, the insurance
I watched this 9-12, Governor, so that's a help.
That's a big help. Thanks, everybody, for making this all possible.
Thank you.
Excuse me. The bill, which, and each of these does multiple things, but the one that in particular will make through the bond bank a vehicle for purchasing school buses is House Bill 1029. And House Bill 1392 is the one which, among other items, makes possible the pooling of insurance, property and casualty insurance purchases.
Governor, couldn't schools do some of this on their own before this legislation? I mean, there have been cooperatives for buying natural gas before. I've heard of schools trying to put bids in on buses before. What does this do that schools currently can't do?
First, schools have had some ability to do this, and we've had service centers in being for a long time, but they haven't been used beyond even 10% of their potential, according to the testimony we heard at the roundtable. In addition, there was either confusion or outright impediments to purchases in certain categories. Natural gas was one, insurance was another, and we've removed all those obstacles through this legislation and also the cooperation of the regulators in both cases. So now it's perfectly clear that everything that makes good business sense can be done. I should also mention that all barriers are now down to the full sharing of services. If school districts want to go to the point while keeping the districts intact, sharing the back office services, the administrative functions, they'll be able to do that too.
For the superintendent, do you belong to an educational service center?
Yes, we do. We belong to the one in Connersville.
Mr. Dugas, do you see schools taking full advantage of this? Because it's no secret, communities are, I'll call them kingdoms when it comes to their schools. Everybody has their own turf. One school does it better than another. Nobody likes to surrender any control of anything because they like one bus more than another bus. Do you really see schools surrendering some of that individual control and cooperative?
I think we're living proof of that. There were five of our school districts in East Central Indiana that qualified to buy natural gas as transport before this law, and we were trying to go together. In my school corporation, I would have had one building. Now I have six buildings that qualify, and we went from five districts to qualify to 11 to 16. And so I think some of that territorial thing, that they're realizing savings and we work cooperatively together. I think your point's well made about school buses, but I think when people see the savings that can be generated, particularly through the purchase of natural gas and by the pooling of property and casualty and workman's compensation insurance, and they see several thousands of dollars being saved per year, I think that you'll see that happen.
I mean, it's a very good question, and again, the testimony is very clear that even before the passage of these bills, Indiana schools were going together for less than 10% of the savings they could have achieved. I really want to thank the superintendents and the school boards. I hope just the process of working together on these bills will focus attention on the imperative need to economize on overhead for the benefit of education. It really is not acceptable anymore to spend excessive dollars in the back office while we struggle to have enough teachers, pay them enough, keep supplies and textbooks affordable.
A large center can make big purchases on their own without the service center, but they still have the option of joining with the service center to share other things. And schools have traditionally shared things like curriculum opportunities, sharing of programs, sharing of speakers, all kinds of people that come to the school districts. for the larger districts, they could make almost as good a deal as we could in some of our co-ops. The other thing we have to remember, too, is that the local schools still have the option of doing the business locally if they can make a better deal that way. So our own businesses within our communities, where the money turns over many times, is still an option for many of our districts as well. But we've cooperated together for years for lots of things. This is just the next step, which will help us to save money, which everybody's concerned with.
We had terrific guidance from the beginning by the from the service centers who are represented again here today. And I really believe this will enable them to come into their own, both through the new authorities and tools, but also, I hope, just the renewed focus on the huge upside opportunity here. No, but might be worth a look. I mean, I don't know. He was good enough to call me in advance, let me know of his intentions. You know, we didn't speak as to his future plans. But obviously, he's been a very good partner as we've worked with the legislature at long last to make a RDA possible up there, at long last to make the Gary Airport a near-term reality. And I appreciated very much his outspoken support for the Major Moves Roads and Jobs Initiative. So I consider him a very able public servant. I know, at least informally, I hope to call on him for advice about Northwest Indiana. And if he has an interest in anything further, we'd give it a look. Thank you all very much.